Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And we would like to welcome you to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so excited about what God has for us today and the word that he's given us. And we want you to, enjoy the word. Amen. Enjoy the lessons. Amen. Tonight, before we get into everything, I'm going to have Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and give us our announcements and lead us in our opening prayer, and then we're getting into this word. Amen.
Amen.
Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Those of you that have joined us in the switchboard, and even those of you who have joined us in the chat room, welcome once again to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just letting you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., Apostle McQueen will be right here to minister the word on Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me, amen, Prophetess Crystal, for a prophetic atmosphere, and that's at 7 p.m. every Thursday. And you can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That's also our website, People of God. Take some time out to get to learn a little bit about us, amen, about the ministry that God has given us. Also learn about the churches that God has blessed us with overseas, who he has given us charge over, our sons and daughters over there in Africa, Tanzania, India, and Pakistan. Also, they have websites as well where you can connect with them on their website or on their Facebook pages. And not only do they need your prayers, but they also need your financial support. And if you go to their Facebook pages, that way you can learn more about them, see the pictures, see who they are, what they're about, what their needs are. Amen. And then as the Lord, should the Lord lay upon your heart to give a donation, we have a donate button on our website. Let us know where you would like your finances to go, and we will make sure that it gets directly into the hands of the person who you're requesting for it to be sent. And also, when I say we, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries also has a website as well on Facebook. Like us on our Facebook page, along with Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Please leave your prayer requests, your praise reports. Let us know what God is doing in your life. And also, if you need someone to touch and agree with you, amen, as it is in regards to prayer, we will definitely lay before God on behalf for you. Amen. Amen. Also, finally, if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to minister at your church, we have a contact page located on our website, www.ctkr.org. There you can give us as much details as you need and also a contact name and number, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Well, people of God, that and those are the announcements for today. Let us look before the Lord in prayer and then get right into this word. Amen. Amen. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we glorify you and thank you and magnify you because of who you are. You're gracious, you're kind, you're merciful. Lord, we love you. We magnify and we glorify you. As we stand in your presence this evening, Lord, we invite your presence. We invite your anointing in this place, wherever your people are under the sound of my voice. We just worship you and we welcome you and we praise you and we glorify you. We thank you for a new day. We thank you for a second chance. God, we thank you for the ministries that you're birthing forth. We thank you for the prophetic words that are going to be manifested in the lives of your people. We thank you, God, that you're bringing your people into a new place. God, into a place of eternal yes to your will, eternal yes to your way. God, where we realize that we are a new creature, the creature that you created, that your image is in us, and we're reflecting it back into the earth. Father, even now as we come, we ask if there's any sin that is amongst us, God, we just ask for forgiveness right now. Wash us and cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. Wash our minds, our hearts, our spirit, and our soul. Forgive us for every action, God, that did not bring you glory this day or yesterday, in the name of Jesus. Father, even now as the man of God begins to minister this word, give him the word right now to save, deliver, and set free. Give all glory back unto you. Father, crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let us not hear him, but the Christ in him. In the name of Jesus, let this word cause us to reflect. Let this word cause us and challenge us, God, to go to the next place in you, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we give your name praise. We back up and we just allow you to have your way in this place. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you for what you've already done, for what you're currently doing, and what you're getting ready to do in our lives. We give your name all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen. We're so so grateful for the awesome prayer. I tell you, God has really blessed us, and God has really blessed me to have such a wonderful, sanctified, holy wife. Amen. And I don't know if you're not married and you looking. If God don't say go, don't you step. Wait on him. I'm telling you, it is worth the wait. 19 years now. Amen.
Amen.
Still going on. 20 years in October. Amen.
Amen.
And, it grows. Amen. But I'm so appreciative of her. Listen, I want to, while we were starting, I got a phone call, and we need to just touch and agree a little bit further. And right now, as we're praying, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I honor you and I praise you, because everything that you do for us is for your glory.
Yes, sir.
Nothing just happens. Everything is predestined before the foundations of the world, and it's part of your plan to bring men to redemption.
Mm.
Bring us in. Help us to understand not only the need for you, but to have the awe and the love for you.
Yes, sir.
For everything that you do. So right now, Lord, you know the contents of that phone call, and we intercede in the spirit right now. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. You have no authority, no power. We cancel every assignment, every trick. Mm. Amen. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And we use the name of Jesus because we recognize and realize that that is the authority that gets things done. So we say right now, in the name of Jesus, from here around the world, oh God, up into Ohio, up into Africa, and the other places where there's need, right now we speak right now concerning it. Satan, loose your hold in the name of Jesus. And we speak freedom. We speak healing, wholeness, redemption in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
I want you to know, we don't just preach a gospel and run from the devil. We preach the gospel, but we will confront a devil. Amen. There's those who receive opportunity to minister, and then there's those who run from everything. I shared with you before, there was a man who ran up in the church, big church. He ran around in there and clowned out on everything else as it related to what he wanted to do. All the while, the deacons and the trustees and the armor bearers and everybody was watching to make sure he didn't get close to the pulpit. And finally, he ran up on the pulpit and jumping all around. They did the offering. He ran to the offering tray and was throwing money up in the air from the offering and all that. I mean, he was just doing all of this stuff. And then finally, you know, somebody grabbed him and let him outside. Well, my thing is when you're inside the house and the power of God is inside the house, if the power of God is inside the house, we're not leading you outside. We will lead you to the altar. Amen. Mm-hmm. I remember coming up when there was any type of episode, as they call them, that would happen, that the mothers of the church, those who knew the words of prayer, we would start interceding and calling on the name of Jesus. Amen. You would see them pleading the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Someone had the audacity to say to me that the blood doesn't have any power in it. It does redemptive, and that's all it does. And I said, I beg to differ. If it was not for the blood, then there would be no ability that we would have to call on the name of Jesus, because you would be disqualified because you would be a Gentile. It is the blood that brings you into direct fellowship and into the family of God. That is what empowers your right, amen, to use the name of Jesus. It is by applying the blood to your sins and to your life and calling and pleading upon the name of Jesus that we begin to apply that, not just plead Jesus, but apply Jesus in the name of Jesus and watch demons respond to it. Amen. Mm-hmm. They don't respect you, but they respect the authority that you carry when you know the power in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's wonderful, because we can get into this now and we can begin to look at this and understand it for what it really is. We're not running from any attack. Amen. We stand fast and we hold up the shield of faith. Amen. This gospel that's being propagated around the world, where you don't have to worry about the devil. He's already been defeated. Live your best life today. Guess what? Live your best life, but put on the whole armor of God. Amen. It was put in the scripture for a reason. Amen. And it wasn't so that we could go bury our head in the sand. Do you know that we have a lot of saints walking around right now with bubble gum and ice cream and cake mentality when it comes down to living for God, because they've been taught that whatever they want, God will just turn around and give it to them. So, you know, a child don't want his meal. He wants his dessert. Amen? Mm-hmm. And it's not the dessert that strengthens you to be able to fight off the diseases and have strength to go through your day. It is that meal, the meat, the potatoes, amen, the vegetables that give you the strength to be able to grow and be able to stand and move forward to do what needs to be done, amen. And what we have is we have people preaching popcorn candy, and but they looking to have strength from the steak. Well, baby, if you don't eat no steak, you can't have steak strength. Amen. Get it in you. Use it. Let it develop you. Amen. And we've been talking about our identity. Go back in the archives. You'll catch up with where we are. But we've been talking about our identity, and I've been ministering on the other man. I'm the other man. What are we talking about? 2 Corinthians. Amen. 5:16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, now yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Uh-huh,
amen.
Uh-huh.
And as we begin to get into this and look at this, we see that there are several different things in there that we need to grab a hold of. Amen. And I thank the Holy Spirit because he always brings back to my mind Romans, the 8th chapter in the 26th verse, starting there. And it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, amen, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. And all of this that we're talking about, changing and becoming the new man, I am the other man. Before, I ran after my own desires. I ran after my own likes. I ran after my own way of thinking of what I wanted. And now that I have been changed, amen, I now chase after the things of God. Amen. I have a desire, a hunger. I have an appetite, amen, for the things of God. Now, how do you get an appetite for the things of God? How does that work? Huh? It doesn't work when I'm seeking God, amen, for my personal gain. And we was talking about this before,
mm-hmm,
amen.
Mm-hmm.
It is the practice of the presence of God for personal endowment.
Yes.
Or personal gain. In other words, we seek God and we want the presence of God because we understand when he comes into our presence, then we can ask of him what we want. Amen. And he responds to us. So people have learned to go into worship so that they can ask for a car. Go into worship so that they can ask for houses and ask for money and other things. But understand those are temporal things. Amen. And you don't get what you always want, amen, because you're asking amiss. And when you're asking amiss, then that means that the prayer that you're using comes from an unregenerated mind. But Apostle, I'm saved. I've been saved for a while. I'm just asking God for a couple of things. Okay, listen, when you pray, you should pray as the Holy Spirit prays, amen. And how does the Holy Spirit praise? He prays according to the will of God. You see that? So if I'm praying according to the will of God, then that means that he's going to deal with me according to his will for my life. Amen. That means that he's never going to do anything outside of that will. Amen. No matter how much I ask for it, he's not going to give me cake and ice cream when he know I need meat and potatoes. Amen. He's going to make sure I get meat and potatoes. And when I learn how to eat my dinner, then make sure I get my dessert. You see that? See, we have to get this together because we refuse to change thinking that we're hurting God. But you're not hurting him. You're hurting yourself. Amen? Because the will and the plan of God is going to go forward. The other thing, let me say this here. Let me say this here. Because I think we make the mistake of thinking that God will... he's going to respond to us based on our likes and dislikes. And we try to hold him at the position of man. Man gets upset at you, and we try to do things to appease man. You know, if we're doing something, someone gets mad, then the first thing we try to do is we try to go and make peace with them. And, you know, come let us reason together. Well, understand this, that God is sovereign in everything. Amen. So God has already designed this plan. And when I said he designed it, he did this from the foundations of the world. He did this before there was a world for everything to be carried out and enacted in. God had already set the plan in place. And then he set the venue for the plan. That is where we are now. Amen? So as we walk this out, this isn't something that God is making up on the fly. This is something that God has already designed now,
mm-hmm,
that we are walking out. We have a responsibility to follow in the steps of his design. Amen? That's why the Bible says that the steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. You understand? So if He orders my steps, and he knows what destination I'm walking towards, I'm progressing towards.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
see that? Yeah. So there's never a time when I'm in control of my destiny. It's always he's in control of my destiny, and as I follow him, he'll lead me into all the goodness of the land. You understand? So the good things that I desire in my life, he'll lead me into those things, and I'll never miss what God never gave me, because God will always give me the good that I should have. You see that? Now, my personal desire in there, you see it, is that I come in and I grab this and I get this opportunity and I run with it and I make it mine and I possess and I do. Okay, well, that works for you and your personal. But what about the will of God? I was sharing with my wife a while back. I went to Africa and I said, wouldn't it be interesting if God sent us to Africa to live for about a couple of years and then come back? And she was like, ooh, I don't know. And I was like, I don't know either. I said, but are we pliable enough? Are we submitted enough to say yes, even when it's something that we really hadn't thought about or really wanted to do? Now, I know some of you listening right now, and some of you who will hear this, you really have to contemplate this. And I can go back into scripture. As a matter of fact, let's go back in scripture and look at some of that. Amen. Because I want you to see that this isn't something that is brand new. This is something that has been done before. Amen. And we have to understand that God does things that in the end, we can look back in hindsight and understand the wisdom, the timing, and the motive of God, that we can't clearly see it when he instructs us to do so. Amen? Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to trust God. And that's the other thing about being the other man, is can you really trust God when you can't see with God's eyesight yet? When you can't see with the depth of God, can you still trust God? Or is your faith predicated upon what you can, with your limited mind, your finite mind, what you can comprehend and understand? Can you trust the word of God and trust the will and the plan of God even when your mind can't figure out all the ins and outs of the plan? See, we've gotten into this common sense type thing. You have to understand that what was done in the garden with Adam and Eve was that she gained the knowledge of good and evil, but it was knowledge that could be twisted one way or the other based on your perception of it. Amen? And as she saw the variance, then we begin to see good actions, bad motives, different actions. You understand? So things begin to shift and change, and that was the chaos that came from the disobedience in the garden. What God did was he gave command, understanding when he gave the command what the outcome of obedience would be. And what we have done since then is we have been born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Most of us have lived most of our lives as sinners, amen, doing what we felt we wanted to do. At some point of our young adult life, and some of us even older, when you got to the place where you said yes to God, you had to unlearn all of those behavior patterns that you have become so accustomed to living by. You now live by new law. You understand? You now live by new priorities. Amen? That's why it's so important when we look at the scripture here where it says, if any man, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Then what's just the old? The old means that, yeah, you left from your address and went to church. Or went to a meeting, you met Christ on the way. You gave him your heart, you gave him your mind. You don't come to a new house, you come back to the same house you just left. But your perception when you walk in the door huh? Your ability to deal with the issues that is inside that residence has changed because now you come back different. Amen? See, what happens is instead of you coming back as the same one that left, you come back as someone who's different. So when buttons are pushed, amen, when people are trying to find a way to get you to respond, your response is different. And because your response now as a child of God is different, the outcome to whatever used to happen has to be different too. Amen? That's when we begin to speak peace, when we're that's when we begin to command the atmosphere. That's when we begin to have a holy resolve in everything that we do. You understand? So the new creature or creation is I am new. And now you're back to the very beginning. And you have the ability to have dominion. You see that? Over your environment. So when I have that, what do I do with it? Do I give it again back to Satan? See, the first time when he got it, amen, first time when he got it, he tricked us. But now when he gains control over your environment and your atmosphere, it's because you refuse to be obedient to God and you willfully give it to him. For a quick satisfaction of telling somebody off, jumping on somebody, saying something when the Holy Spirit said, don't say nothing. Ooh, you know what? You don't know who you're messing with. And all of that right there deteriorates, amen, the will of God in your life because he told you to follow peace. Now, if Jesus Christ himself, and we're Christians, we follow after him. If he could go through knowing that they were lying, huh? Mm-hmm. Challenging his ability, his spirituality, mm-hmm. his prophet. Tell us who smote you, who hit you? Prophesy to us. Pow! Tell us who just hit you. See, that's a challenge to who he is. Mm-hmm. See, and when people challenge you, and then they do stuff, and then say, "Child of God."
Oh, Jesus, you know it's the truth.
Then the first thing you want to do is let them know, you know, I ain't always been saved. Well, guess what? You saved now. Act like you saved. Huh? Get it together. You demonstrate. You right now, you are the representative of Christ in the earth. Yeah. And the other man has to always show up. Who is the other man? It is the regenerated new creation that I have become in Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? You have to understand this because when that old things are passed away means that my old way of dealing with situations has to pass away too. It's very it's perplexing to me to deal with people who have left the church, and when we speak to them, they tell us about incidents that happened at church, which is why they left the church. We love God. I love Jesus, but I don't like church folk. So I ain't going over there because, you know, I'm going to be real. When I get there, you know, I'm going to really be there. But there's so many people up there right now that I'm seeing that ain't about nothing that's trying to run around. I get tired every time I see them running around in a circle and jumping up and disrupting service. And I know that they just got done cussing somebody out in a parking lot, jumped on somebody, was at the club with me trying to steal my man, too. See, now, listen. We are the representative of Christ in the earth, but how are we representing him? When we talk about the other man, has the other man ever showed up? Wow. Or are you still showing up? See, I can change the suit, but I'm still the same person under that suit. Amen? I can put on jeans. I'm still the same person wearing the jeans. Nothing changes until I change.
Yes.
So God isn't worried about your outward. He's worried about your inward. Huh? And notice how it says this, because this gives us a visual of how we should actually be doing this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, where should I be?
In
I should be in Christ. Everything about me should be seen through the eyes of Christ. Everything about me should be experienced through the life and through the body of Christ. You see that? Because I'm in Christ. That means that any interaction with anything outside of Christ has to come through Christ. Let me give it to you even clearer. If I'm going to, and we're from Ohio, so let's just say snow on the ground. When I go outside to deal with a snowball, I can either pick up that snow with my own hand, or I can have on my gloves. You understand? Well, with my hands, I can throw so many snowballs before it becomes too cold for me to pick up any snow. But when I put on the gloves, I can throw snowballs a long time. I can throw snowballs for a longer time. Amen. You see that? Now, what's the difference in that? If I'm dealing with the same element, it's me dealing with it. But when I put on the gloves, I have a covering that keeps me from some of the things or the elements of that snow. The wetness, I don't feel it. You understand? The coldness, I don't feel it. You see that? So now, when we begin to deal with the world, we begin to deal with situations, and we are in Christ, then the effects of the situation that we are dealing with is like us having on the glove while we're grabbing the snow. You understand? See, we have to put on Christ. Amen. He becomes the coat or the parka. You understand? That protects us against the cold elements out there that mean to do us harm. So when I walk into the situation didn't change. But how it affects me because I'm in Christ changes.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord, help us today. Mm-hmm. So now I can be in the same situation as somebody else. That's why when people look at you and they see you come through a test and a trial and you don't break down in that test of the trial, you make it through it, and you're giving God the glory all the way through it, that's why they come back to you and say, you know what, if it had been me, I would have did this. Ooh, I don't know how you do that, because if it would have been me, I would have did this, and I would have did that. And truth be told, if it was you without the covering of Christ, you would have responded that way, if
that's
not
right.
Worse.
That's right.
But since we have put on Christ, and we are in Christ, we act and we respond now as a new creation. You see that? So the old me don't show up and destroy the image of Christ that's being propagated in the earth. The new me, the new creation that I become, shows up, and I show you how Jesus would deal with this situation. There was something that was very popular a number of years ago where people were wearing these wristbands and things and these other things, T-shirts and all that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, guess what? It was popular and it became just another cliche because people saw it, they thought about it when they first did it, but no one really changed to the behavior pattern of what Jesus would do. And we are required now to demonstrate Christ. What type of Christ? Not the I'm going to be rich because that's the way God wants me, Christ. I'm going to be in the will of God, doing what pleases the Father, Christ. That's the one he called us to. You understand? Jesus said, the food that I eat, I have food that you know not of. My food is to do the will of God, or do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. John 4 and about 33, amen? Mm-hmm. See, we got to get down to the nitty-gritty on this. Because we've made this Christian walk about any and everything else other than pleasing God. As a matter of fact, we have made what we want, our wills and our desires, synonymous with the will of God. So as greedy and as self-righteous and as self-aggrandizing as you are in your flesh, you make people think that as they go out and live that lifestyle, that it really pleases God, when it's really an affront to him, because we are to mortify, crucify the flesh. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, let me go back up, because here I am at the 17th verse, and you need to hear it again from the 14th or the 15th verse, amen? Let's read it from the 14th. And the love of Christ compels us because we just thus. If one died for all, then all died, amen? But he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see that? So the life that we live is not concerning us or about us. It's about pleasing him. What was Jesus doing while he was on the earth? If I'm a Christian, how do I follow a Christian example without following the Christian example? We live for ourselves, but do we really live for him? Oh, I know it's tough to hear this. Because for so long, we've been making excuses for bad behavior. Well, the Lord's just working on me. Yeah, he worked on you. That's how you got saved. Amen. He came, he knocked, you opened up the door, he came in, and then he said, I want the couch over there. You said, well, I never liked the couch over there.
Right.
He said, I want to move this table over here that's going to open up and give us more room. Well, I don't like the table over there. Why don't we just leave the table over there? Well, listen, why did you allow him to come in if you wouldn't allow him to change the inside?
That's right.
That's why he came in, so that he can change you from within.
Change,
huh?
Come over me.
How are you going to deal with coming into compliance with the will of God when everything that God wants you to do, you have an excuse or reason why it shouldn't be changed or why you don't have to change, but you're always praying and asking God to change others? Huh? We turn around and say, Lord, anything you want, Lord, we want to do your will. Mold us, make us. But we really don't mean mold us, make us. Mold us means, and making us means, that he has control over the craftsmanship that we are. Molding us means that whatever is out of alignment or out of place, he has the right and the ability and your permission to put it in place and in alignment.
That's it.
Huh? See, we talk about the mantle, and the mantle is like a girdle. It's like a corset, if you will. It's like a covering that you put over yourself, and it conforms or brings your image in. Amen. It conforms you to the image and likeness of it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what's the name of those undergarments that people have, Spanx and the artists and the rest of those. All these people are trying to go out and make money off of you looking right without you changing your eating habits and exercise habits and everything else. So people say, well, I don't want to exercise, but I want to be more shapely. Well, here we have a garment for you. Put this on underneath your clothes, and it'll make you more shapely and make you look more this. It'll make you look more that. And people are buying that. Well, guess what? People are trying to do that spiritually as well.
That's the truth now.
See, we're walking around putting on spiritual Spanx, if you will, huh? Because we don't want to go through the process of changing ourselves into his image. So when he says, listen, I need you to back off of that and all that fleshly stuff, then I need you to let that stuff go. Instead of letting that stuff go, the first thing that happens is people are looking at it and they say, well, I don't want to let that go. Why can't I have just this little one thing right here? Well, what if that little one thing right there was keeping you from all of the things that God had stored for you? What if that was the one nail that was keeping everything from falling into your lap? You understand? What if that's the one thing that's keeping us in the atmosphere? God said, when you let that go, everything else is going to release. And suddenly, now, it's going to come upon you and overtake you. Blessings. You understand? But you hold on to that one thing because that one thing helps you to keep the rest of your identity. So you don't have the identity of Christ. You have the identity of me as I observe Christ. Because when you have his identity, he changes you to mirror who he is. You see that? That those who live should no longer live for themselves. Huh? Therefore, 17 verse, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, will you allow him to actually change you into a new creation? I'm going to tell you this, and I'll share this with you. It is a life-changing thing. Amen?
Amen.
To be molded and made into his image. See, we think that all of this works. God wouldn't call me into that because, you know, I don't like meeting new people, and I'm a little comfortable over here, you know, with what I'm doing with me and mine, and I'm okay. Okay? And I don't think God wants me to go over and do that over there. So, can I do something here in the name of the Lord? I love him. I just don't want to go over there. Okay, listen. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens when God actually calls you. And we're going to take it, and it's very telltelling. Amen. Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. In other words, he didn't say, listen, I want you to take a trip and go over to Canaan. Okay, I'm going to do some great things for you over there.
Right,
he didn't give
him
the end. We know the end because we understand that this happened, and we can look in hindsight through history. Amen. Looking back, we can see what happened at his obedience. Mm-hmm. Amen. But before he was given this, he wasn't given anything other than get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Amen. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You see that? And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who cursed you. And you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. Now, we understand this as the Abrahamic covenant right here. This is what God said to him when he called him out. But in this, there is a lot of faith that is needed. First of all, he's living with his family. He's living in a country that he knows, amen, and he's in his father's house, amen. You see this? So he's very dependent on the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
He's very dependent upon his father and his father's resources and all of those things. You see this? Huh? He's familiar with the land and how everyone knows him and knows his father and knows his family. And what God does is he changes you and shifts you from where you're comfortable to a place where you have to be dependent on him. Because the things that you have been resting on, the things that you have faith and reliance in, the things that you have that you feel will be guaranteed, God says, I can't use you while you're looking at that. Because while you're focused on that, you won't focus on me or where I'm trying to take you. So what I have to do is I have to shift. Amen. You get it? I have to shift your environment. So let me get you away from everything that you know so that you can get to a place where you can know me. Because I'm going to tell you this and understand it. Knowing me will be greater than anything that you ever knew.
I like it.
Can I say that again?
Please do.
Knowing me will be greater than anything that you ever knew.
That's true.
You see that? I'm just not comfortable with. He didn't ask him about his comfortableness. He asked him to do something. As a matter of fact, when you look at the wording here, he doesn't even ask him.
No, command.
It's a commandment. He said, get out of your country. He didn't say, well, why don't you move away from your country? See, that's asking. That's trying to appease him and get him to see his point of view. God didn't do that. God came down and said, get out your country, from your family and from your father's house. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm going to cause you to go through a separation from everything that is common to you, because what I'm going to do concerning you is supernatural, and everything that is common to you will talk you out of the move of God. And that's the problem with some people today, is that you've been around some of the common people from your past, and whenever God tries to move upon you, whenever God tries to move you and shake you and lift you up and put you as his workman, and his craftsmanship before men, the first thing that comes out of you is you tell your friends, I'm about to go over here and do what God said. Child, I don't know. Well, I just got a couple of questions. Listen, stop asking me questions. The serpent asked Eve questions. And look where we are. How many of you have been kicked out of your garden of Eden, as it were? Huh? By some questions that somebody else asked that messed up where you were. See, you have to understand, we talk about haters and everything else, but sometimes we become the greatest hater in the world. Because God will speak concerning our destiny and tell us what to do, and then we will allow others. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know when you go have a conversation with certain people, that those certain people you had a conversation with have a certain point of view. That's why you went to that person to have the conversation. They have a conversation. They begin to talk to you. I was watching one show, and a person was talking about, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. They said, talk me out of it, man. He said, and they end up talking them out. And he said, whew, thanks. I almost made a big mistake. Well, guess what? Some of you are doing that. You're trying to talk to people about God's vision and God's plan for your life, and they're talking you out of your destiny. You won't go down the road because somebody that you talked to told you not to go down the road. So you dragging your feet, you digging your heels in, you got your nails dug into the ground. When we look back, we see you progressing forward. We see all of the whole, you know, all the anchors and everything else. We see the resistance, amen, that's behind you. And yet and still, you want God to bless you and overabundantly bless you. And then you turn around and say, well, I did go. God said, but you didn't go willingly. You understand? What would have happened if Abram at this point would have started fighting God? The first three verses, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. It ain't going to be sure. I'm not going to tell you everything because you're going to go through some stuff. And I don't want you to focus on what you're going through. I want you to focus on the end result. Amen. That's why God shows you who you're going to be. That's why he shows you ministering to different people around the world and having influence of different people from different lands and the nations that you will speak to. Amen.
Amen.
It's not because you're ready to go over there now. It's because that's where you're going to end up, going over and ministering the gospel. People will be coming to you and hearing the word of God from you, taking that word off from you and using it to produce the kingdom of God in the earth. You're not ready for it yet because you still have to get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house. And for those of you who say he's preaching against family and he don't want me to be around family, the devil's a liar. Get him out your ear and out your mind. Amen. Because the first thing that we understand is that your first ministry is to your home. Who's at your home? Your family. Amen, somebody. Huh? We gotta get all this out the way. I told you, you can be your greatest hater because, you know, maybe your shortcoming is your family, and they're the ones who you use to talk you out of doing the will of God. So, you know, as long as your family's in your ear, you're okay. So when it comes down to God telling you to get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house, you try to find a way. Well, you know, my first ministry is the family. Yes, until God tells you to move from them. See, you... In order to understand this passage, you have to go prior to this, amen, and understand that Terah left from Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but stopped in Haran, and that's where Abram is right now, huh?
So when God tells him to move, he ends up in Canaan. Yep. Who had the command to go to Canaan first?
Papa,
thank you. Papa was supposed to go to Canaan first, but he stopped on the way. Don't think for one minute when Papa see you about to go to Canaan to do what God told him to do or her to do, that they're not going to discourage you from going forward too. Amen, somebody. Ooh, it's tight, but it's right. This is the word of the Lord for today. Amen. Huh? So when we begin to look at this, we begin to see what's really going on, and it's so important for us to understand. When we go to the fourth verse, it puts everything in perspective, okay, because he told him to do that, huh? And even in that, Abram still found a way to do something that God didn't tell him to do while trying to be obedient to what God told him to do, amen? So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Okay? And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Amen? So now the Lord did not tell him to take Lot with him. He said, from your country, you see that? From your family, and Lot was his nephew. You see that? From your father's house. So you got to be very careful who goes with you as you progress towards the will of God for your life. Because we understand that it was Lot and Abram who, the herdsmen who started having problems. It was Abram Abraham who had to go and rescue Lot with his 318 trained men. When the five kings came, that's where we get into Melchizedek, amen? And he meeting Melchizedek. He was on the way from rescuing Lot. And then, you know, we don't even have to go to Sodom and Gomorrah where there was Lot. See, there's some people who are never meant to go with you through your destiny. And that's what happened at a certain point. They had to separate. Because what God was doing with Abraham, Lot could be a visual, he could see it visually, but he could never be a partaker of it. You see that? We try to bring along some people that God never designed. They weren't designed to be in your blessing. They weren't designed to be in your destiny. They weren't designed to be there with you as you cross over the finish line. Because they were some of the people who may be the greatest obstacles and distractions to your progression. That's good. You see that? Good. So we have to understand what God is trying to do to us. When we talk about if any man be in Christ or if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. When God gets you to the point where you are in Christ, then you become a new creation, old things are passed away. That means the lots that came along with you after hearing what God said about you, they have to go their way while you go your way. And notice what Lot did when the separation came. Yep. Huh? He said, well, listen, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go this way, I'm going that way. Which way, given the choice, do you want to go? Abraham told him, which way do you want to go? And when Lot looked down and saw that the valley was plush and it was good and it was wonderful for his sheep, that's where he wanted to be at. So in other words, he took what he thinks would be the best way, and that's where he went. Now notice the blessing was to Abraham. And which way was the other way? The other way was into the wilderness. That's what Abraham went. But who really flourished after all of this? Why are you saying that? I'm saying this because I want you to understand that when God speaks upon your life, you can be in the middle of nowhere with no resources around you, and God will still cause you to flourish. That's God's will, plan for your life. And notice that doesn't happen you belly aching and telling God what you want. That happens when God tells you what he wants and you comply. It is the blessing of your obedience that leads you into that more than enough. You see that? It leads you into that abundant living. As we are, as we move forward according to the will of God, then God can bless us according to his will for our life. Amen? See, we have to understand all of this. I wish I had time. We're down to our last 5 minutes, but I will go to Genesis, the 37th chapter, because there's another example here with Joseph. Joseph has dreams. Amen. And all of those dreams that he's having, let's look at just a few of them just for a minute. Genesis 37, amen. Let's start at one. It says, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them, of them to his father. So, in other words, he's a little tattletale. Mm-hmm. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his other children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Amen. You see all this that's going on? But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, Joseph had a dream. And in this dream, you know, time won't allow me to really get into it. But in the dream, he has a dream of where God was going to take him at the end. But he doesn't tell him about his brothers plotting to kill him, throwing him in a ditch, the slavery, him being sold into slavery. None of these dreams tells him about doing what he needs to do and holding up to his integrity, but Potiphar's wife sought to have him. It didn't tell about him going into prison. It didn't tell about him prophesying and the gift of God that was upon him that's save one life while the other one was taken. Yes. You see that? It wasn't until at the very end, after all of this that he went through, that he finally gets to the place where he's second in charge. Yes. And now we see at the very end where the dream that was told to him while he was young, you see that? 17 years old, comes to pass. My brothers and sisters, God has a plan for you, but you have to walk through the process to that plan. Don't get weary in well-doing. Go forward and do what God said do. It is in the process that you get to the point where you can understand and you can stand with the tests, the trials, and the temptations of the destiny where God is going to take you. Otherwise, you'll get to it and you'll foul up what God meant for you to be a blessing to and what was meant to be a blessing to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Prophetess, if you will, give us our closing and our invitation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, right now, yes, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the powerful word. We thank you for the message, God. We are new creatures, creations in you. Father God, help us right now to understand our purpose, our plan, to put away the foolish things.
Yes.
To lay aside every weight that we make excuses to easily beset us. God, right now, I'm asking that you'll put a soberness on the inside of us. Father, that we will continue and make up in our mind once and for all to pursue after your will and your way and your design and your purpose of doing things. God, we say yes. We say yes, God. Down in our souls, we say yes,
yes
to whatever you want us to do. Now, Father, we thank you right now because you're changing lives. We thank you right now because you're shifting minds. We thank you right now, God, because you're bringing revelation and understanding to someone. Now, Father, for those who are not saved, let them repeat this word. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and in my life, make your abode. Be Lord of my life. I will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we say welcome into the kingdom of God. We pray right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries that you will find a loving church home that is teaching and training and manifesting the glory of God, and that you will grow up amen, spiritually, to
yes.
understand God's place and his design for you in this earth and manifest his glory. Amen.
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 It is God's will for you to be matured and developed. Amen. And I think once you say yes to the Lord, then you begin your journey of maturation. Amen. That's where you actually learn how to walk as a strong adult. Amen. Full grown and demonstrating the power of God in the earth. Amen. And that's what we're really going for. Listen, I want you to go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Reminding you that it is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.